You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Friday, August 5th, 2022. Here comes the sun. Is the Gulf of Mexico poised for a run of crude oil production growth? Published by Housley Carr. The Gulf of Mexico, GOM, has seen more than its share of stormy weather, and both literally and figuratively, so have crude oil producers active there. Earlier this century, production growth in the offshore GOM was set back by Katrina and other major hurricanes, then by the Deepwater Horizon spill. Starting in 2014, and for 5 years after that, the Gulf's output ratcheted up, only to be set back again, this time by the double whammy of COVID and bad storms. Now, the GOM appears to be poised for another period of steady growth. The only question is, with the global push to decarbonize, and with at least a couple of large producers planning to exit the region, will this be Gulf producers' last stretch of good weather? In today's RBN blog, we begin a short series on the ups and downs of GOM production, the new projects starting up this year and beyond, and the Gulf's longer-term prospects. The offshore Gulf of Mexico is a very different animal than the shale and tight oil plays that dominate discussions about U.S. crude oil and natural gas production. Unlike E&Ps in the Permian, Bakken, and Marcellus Utica, who, up until the recent supply chain and labor disruptions, have had the ability to ratchet up their output in response to higher prices by activating more rigs and completing more wells within the span of a few months, producers in the Gulf base their big upfront investments in new platforms or subsea tiebacks on very long-term oil price expectations. Also, unlike shale wells, whose production peaks early then trails off, wells in the GOM typically maintain high levels of production for years and years. That doesn't mean that production in the Gulf can't nosedive, if there's a good reason. In fact, when you look back at GOM crude oil output over the past 22 years, see figure 1, you see a number of sharp declines, most of them tied to strong hurricanes whose approach spurred the evacuation of manned offshore platforms. The biggest downward spikes in monthly output occurred in the fall of 2005, with Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, and the fall of 2008, with Hurricanes Gustav and Ike. There also was the 18-month slide in production after the Deepwater Horizon incident. As we said in the introduction to today's blog, from 2014 through 2019, the GOM experienced its longest, largest period of production growth since the 1990s, before the days of the shale revolution when U.S. output was declining. The long-term outlook for crude demand was strong, and the Gulf's output roughly doubled. During this recent six-year stretch, producers added a handful of new offshore platforms and, just as important, and maybe more so, a slew of new subsea tiebacks, which tie back new wells to existing platforms with umbilical cord-like connections. Tiebacks enable E&Ps to add new production much more quickly and at a fraction of the cost of new platforms, see smooth sailing. Since August 2019, when production peaked at just over 2 million barrels per day, the several dips in GOM production have been tied to either hurricanes, such as Laura, August 2020, Delta, October 2020, and Ida, September 2021, or, in the spring of 2020, production pullbacks implemented by E&Ps in response to COVID-related demand destruction. So, is the GOM headed for more production volatility or a return to the steady growth that Gulf producers enjoyed through the mid to late 2010s? Of course, hurricanes can always throw a monkey wrench into production plans, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Climate Prediction Center is forecasting an above-average 2022 hurricane season, with 14 to 21 named storms with winds of 39 miles per hour or more, 6 to 10 of those possibly becoming hurricanes, winds of 74 miles per hour or more, and 3 to 6 of those possibly becoming major hurricanes, Cat 3 or higher, with winds of 111 miles per hour or more. Aside from the known unknown of possible hurricanes, the other factors that will determine the GOM's crude oil production trajectory through the early to mid-2020s are largely favorable. Over the past several years, E&Ps and their engineering and construction contractors have made continuous progress in reducing the cost of adding new production, partly because of the expanded use of subsea tiebacks, as well as the average break-even crude oil prices needed to justify new projects. Our understanding is that these long-term average break-even prices, which topped $55 per barrel, on average, back in 2015, now are closer to $30 per barrel or even lower, which seems super attractive, given the widely held view that oil prices will stay higher for longer. Also, with the uncertainties and dislocations caused by COVID, the timelines for a number of GOM projects initially slated to come online in 2020 or 2021 were set back, resulting in a bumper crop of tiebacks and other projects producing their first oil this year or next. Among the larger projects coming online are Murphy Oil in April 2022 started production at the King's Quay Floating Production System, FPS, which is located in the Green Canyon area off the coast of southeastern Louisiana. The facility is designed to process 85,000 barrels per day of crude oil and 100 million cubic feet per day of natural gas delivered to it from a total of 7 wells in 4 nearby fields, the Game of Thrones-inspired Khaleesi and Mormont West and East fields, as well as the Samurai. BP's Argos, a semi-submersible floating production unit FPU located in waters 4,500 feet deep, also in the Green Canyon area, is set to begin operating by the end of this year. The centerpiece of BP's $9 billion Mad Dog 2 development, Argos will be capable of processing a total of 140,000 barrels per day from 14 production wells. It will be BP's fifth operated production platform in the GOM. Shell's Vito project, also scheduled to produce its first oil in the fourth quarter of 2022, is located in the Mississippi Canyon area just south of the mouth of the Mississippi River. The Vito FPU will have the capacity to process up to 100,000 barrels per day of crude oil and will initially be tied to 8 production wells. Shell has estimated that the area to be served by Vito has recoverable resources totaling about 300 million barrels of oil equivalent. While these three projects have a combined capacity of more than 300,000 barrels per day, initial production will be considerably lower and output will ramp up gradually as new wells are added. A number of other smaller additions also will be coming online in 2022, and a few started up earlier this year. For example, Shell in March began production at its PowerNap subsea development in the Mississippi Canyon, whose output is delivered to the Shell-operated Olympus FPU and, from there, to the Louisiana coast on Shell Midstream and BP Midstream's Mars pipeline system. Peak production from PowerNap is expected to be 20,000 barrels per day. Also, BP has said that it plans to double production at its Mammoth Thunder Horse system in the Mississippi Canyon to 200,000 barrels per day by the end of this year. Thunder Horse's capacity is 250,000 barrels per day of crude oil and 200 million cubic feet per day of gas. In July, the Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management, BOEM, issued a new forecast, predicting that, with the planned additions discussed above, and a few other smaller ones, GOM production will recover to its 2019 average of about 1.9 million barrels per day this year, then rise to the 2 million barrels per day mark in 2023 and 2024, and inch above that level in 2025-27 before beginning a gradual decline that would leave GOM production at about 1.8 million barrels per day in 2031. BOEM also said it expects natural gas production will stay close to flat at about 2 BCF per day through the 10-year forecast period. BOEM noted that its forecast assumes that federal leasing of offshore tracts in the GOM will continue during the 2022-31 forecast period, which, as you know if you've been following the news, has been far from certain, given the Biden administration's efforts to accelerate the decarbonization of the U.S. economy. As we understand it, while a slowdown in, or halt to, federal leasing would not affect production from proved reserves and would likely have only a minimal impact on production from contingent resources, it could result in either lower production or no production from what are now described as undiscovered resources. In the next blog in this series, we'll examine the current status of federal leasing in the GOM in more detail. As we said in Friday's blog, the name game, the proposed Inflation Reduction Act would, among many other things, revive 3 previously scrapped lease sales for oil and gas exploration in the Gulf, and require the Interior Department to hold more lease sales going forward. We'll also discuss recent indications that a couple of the largest producers in the Gulf may be planning an exit from the region. Here Comes the Sun was written by George Harrison and appears as the first song on side 2 of the Beatles' 11th studio album, Abbey Road. Harrison wrote the song at the Surrey Country estate of his friend Eric Clapton in April 1969. The song was recorded in July and August 1969 at EMI Abbey Road Studios in London. When released as a digital download single in 2019, it went to number 3 on the Billboard Hot Rock Song Singles chart. The song has been covered by many artists such as Richie Havens, whose 1971 release went to number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart, Nina Simone, and Peter Tosh. Harrison performed the song with Paul Simon on Saturday Night Live in 1976. Personnel on the record were George Harrison, lead, backing vocals, acoustic guitar, electric guitar through Leslie Speaker, harmonium, synthesizer, Paul McCartney, backing vocals, bass, Ringo Starr, drums, George Martin, orchestral score and arrangement for strings and horns. Abbey Road was recorded between February and August 1969 at EMI, Abbey Road, Trident and Olympic Studios in London, with George Martin producing. It was the last album the Beatles recorded, although its release in 1969 preceded their album, Let It Be, which was released in 1970 when the band publicly called it quits. Released in October 1969, Abbey Road went to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 12x platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. One single, Something Backed by Come Together, was released from the LP. The Beatles were an English rock band formed in Liverpool in 1960. With John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr, the band is considered the most successful rock band in history. They released 17 studio albums, 6 live albums, 54 compilation albums, 36 EPs, and 63 singles, and have sold more than 600 million records worldwide. They have won an Academy Award, 4 Brit Awards, 7 Grammy Awards, 15 Ivor Novello Awards, and 3 World Music Awards. The Beatles are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as a group and individually, the UK Music Hall of Fame and the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. They are members of the Grammy Hall of Fame and have a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. The Bank members received MBEs from Queen Elizabeth in 1965. The Beatles officially broke up in 1970. All of the members went on to successful solo careers. John Lennon was killed in December 1980 and George Harrison died in November 2001. Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr still record and tour as solo artists.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.